Loreen there with her 2023 Eurovision winner tattoo. It's a bit of a belter of a song, isn't it? Now, we were talking about daycations yesterday. It's like we're having our own bit of a virtual daycation today from the National Botanic Gardens to Dublin Zoo now. This story has gone international. You might have seen some of the amazing pictures coming out of Dublin Zoo this week. They have a teaching moment between a group of mothers and a new mother orangutan, Majeur. So there was a fear that Majeur might struggle with breastfeeding. So the zoo called in the cavalry in the shape of Lizzie Reeves, a midwife from the breastfeeding team at the National Maternity Hospital in Dublin. And here to tell us about the unconventional class is Lizzie herself and Anthony McClure, a zookeeper in Dublin Zoo. Anthony, I'll come to you first. Can you tell us a little bit about Majeur and how the situation came about?
Yeah, absolutely. A very interesting situation. A very unique one, I'd say, as well for myself and the rest of the keeping team here.
Yeah.
You know, we unfortunately lost our male to Ibu at the start of the year. A very iconic male and a very important male for the international breeding program for our Bornean orangutans. Mm-hmm. So he passed away early in the year, and I was just coming in one of the mornings with the rest of the team, and we sort of noticed that Majeur had a little bit of a shape to her belly. And we sort of thought, okay, you know, we'd been in a little bit of ill health before, and, you know, he wasn't really overexerting himself. So it still didn't stick with us that she could possibly be pregnant. You know, we thought maybe there was just a little bit of Christmas weight still there.
Okay.
So we just decided to do, you know, we do train our orangutans every day, so we can actually get a pregnancy test on Majeur. So we just said, you know, a good practice, we'll bring her in, we'll do a bit of training, and we'll get a pregnancy test on her just to cover our bases. And needless to say, our jaws hit the floor when it came up positive.
So there was a moment of, you had no idea that Cebu was going to leave you with this gift before he left
absolutely
us?
Absolutely no idea whatsoever. We didn't think he was physically able, but obviously he still had a bit of steam still left in him, and he left us with a gift. So there was a moment of silence, as you can imagine, when the pregnancy test turned up positive. So there was a phone call straight to the Dublin Zoo stores to go down to Boots and get as many clear blues as they could and get them down to the zoo. And so we did repeat tests, and every single one of them was positive. He managed to get Majeur pregnant, which was absolutely fantastic. What? You know, it was nearly bittersweet in a way, because, you know, we had lost him.
Of course.
But to know that he left us a parent gift was something special.
And especially the significance, as you said, for the breeding program.
Absolutely, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Majeur. I suppose you knew immediately extra care had to be taken in this situation. And why was that?
Absolutely, yeah. So we had to sit down and do a bit of a plan, because Majeur had given birth before, you know, and instinctually orangutans are very maternal apes, very, very maternal apes. But unfortunately, with Majeur's last youngsters, she just didn't show any real maternal instincts toward the babies. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, they did pass away.
Okay.
So I suppose I went into another gear this time now, because Cebu was so important internationally for the breeding program, which we're a part of, as well as 40 other zoos in Europe. You know, there's about 200 orangs in the EEP, it's called the European Endangered Species Breeding Program.
Yeah, and as you said, so, they are endangered, so it's so important to keep it going.
Critically endangered now in the wild. Yeah, critically endangered, you know. So Dublin Zoo, we've been spearheading conservation efforts with orangs in the wild, and you know, we support the Orangutan Foundation over in Borneo. You know, so this baby was special, though, you know. So we had to put a big plan in place, given the importance of Cebu, because his genetic profile for the breeding program, he was one of the top-ranking males.
Okay.
And, you know, as I said, we thought we lost him, you know, when he passed away. But when we realised the Majeur was pregnant, it's ensuring that his line was going to keep going.
Yeah. So this is where Lizzie comes in. So this is Lizzie. Tell us how this came about for you. Like, be honest. Yeah. Like, what did you think when the message came through that, you know, your help was needed?
I know. So my husband, Dara, is a vet, and he knows Emma Flynn, who's the vet in Dublin Zoo, one of the team of vets in Dublin Zoo. So Emma actually contacted him and said, Dara, did you mention Lizzie as a lactation consultant, any chance she could give us some advice, because Majeur is pregnant, never managed to breastfeed before, would she be interested? And when I tell you, it was the best message I ever got in my whole life. Like, Dara, I will live in the zoo if that's what they need me to do.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was so exciting. So, because I'm passionate about breastfeeding, and I absolutely am passionate about animals as well. So to combine the two was just my dream come true.
Of course. Yeah, you couldn't do it on your own, though. You had to rope in a few volunteers.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Yeah. So myself and Emma had actually recently finished breastfeeding our own children. Mm-hmm. So we were thinking, gosh, well, if we could demonstrate to her, that would be really handy. But we're not still breastfeeding ourselves. And then we thought, well, actually, we might not be still breastfeeding, but there's plenty of women who are. Yeah. So I contacted my friend Nora, who's also mad about animals, and her little baby Elodie. So they came in first. And then I kind of put the feelers out with the girls in work. Because I work in a maternity hospital, there's lots of young girls having babies. Mm-hmm. So a load of the staff, some of the NICU nurses, some of the midwives, some of the doctors were all on board. Now, some of my friends looked at me like I had 10 heads when I asked them, would they come and feed their babies in the zoo?
Well, it is quite an unusual request. Yeah.
Very unusual. And I totally understand that as well. It wasn't for everybody. And I then went on and contacted my local Quidju group. And there's a lady, Shan, who's in charge of that Quidju group, or who runs that Quidju group. And I rang her and spoke to her and explained the situation. And she was really kind and understanding. And she spoke to the women in her group. And that afternoon, my phone didn't stop binging all afternoon. I couldn't believe it. The response was unbelievable. So we had 30 women just like that and their babies who were saying, when can we come? What do we need to do? It's no problem. Right. Can I help? I could have had 50 women, to be honest, only just for logistics. It was easier to manage a smaller number. But the interest was amazing.
And let's talk then again, I suppose, about the actual teaching and how it happened, because I'm sure that's what people really want to know. Like, I just think this is so beautiful. It's, you know, one mother to another mother, there's no language, but there's a silent dialogue nearly and a connection. Like, that's all you need.
So it was just mothers supporting mothers, as simple as that. And it didn't matter her species, like Anto was saying, the orangutans. Like, orangutan means person of the forest, and they share 97% of our DNA. So we're really similar. So the keepers and all the staff in the zoo were amazing. They'd have the house closed in the morning. The women came in at 9:30. When the zoo opened, they were there, which is really difficult with a small baby to be out of the house and at the zoo at 9:30 at the orang house. And the keepers just locked up the house, closed the doors and set up some chairs for the women. And they sat in the orangutan house. Obviously, Majour is on the other side of the safety glass. So it was all very safe for the women. Mm-hmm. And they fed their babies. And every day she came down and watch them. I don't know if you've seen some of the photos of Nora and Elodie. It was just unbelievable. She loved seeing the babies. She'd be up at the glass looking at the babies. And some of the children were older, you know, toddlers still breastfeeding and maybe babies who were 12, 13 months who were kind of walking along, wobbling along in front of the window. And she was absolutely enthralled with the looking at the children and the babies. It was amazing.
And of course, the lessons are very much like a mimicry act. And it's really, I suppose, facilitating and fostering that good maternal care. Anthony, you know, the teaching did have some effect. I mean, you know, tell us a little bit about that and what the progress was.
Yeah, absolutely. So when the baby was born, we could actually see it straight away, the difference compared to the other births and, you know, what the ladies coming in had done. You know, she was very maternal with the baby, holding it in the right position, you know, nurturing it, you know, cleaning the baby. The position was great that she had it in, you know, it was like a difference, completely different Majour compared to the last ones. But we just faced that the most important piece of the puzzle just unfortunately didn't happen. Mm-hmm. The baby wouldn't latch. And, you know, it takes 50-50 effort from mommy and baby to make that happen. Mm-hmm. You know, baby has to be in the position and wanted to suckle, which he was. But mommy needs to be able to get baby and maneuver him into the area, which unfortunately didn't happen.
Yeah, you and know, as you said, and it was so important that you just made sure that, you know, that those early few hours are so essential so that, you know, while you were trying. But I do want to ask you about one. I do want to ask you about one quick thing, because I'm really intrigued about this when I was reading about the story earlier. Yeah, you got a gift, though, because the women really wanted to allow you to be part of this as well. Can you tell everybody what the gift was?
Absolutely. Well, one of the families in the early days brought into me 2 crocheted breasts.
Crocheted breasts?
And an orangutan baby teddy. So in the infancy of the breastfeeding classes, I would actually go in before the mammies come in and sort of mimic the behaviour, shall we say, in front of Majour with the baby teddy.
I have to commend your commitment, Anthony.
This baby was so born. We were willing to throw the kitchen sink at it. I'd have to again, no matter.
And I do believe as well, Anthony, that you, your own baby, 19 months old, just off 9-time feeding, so just when you thought that you were getting away from actually feeding, when you decided to switch to the manual and handheld, that you were doing every 3 hours, am I right?
We're every 3 hours now, yeah. So I was in with the baby yesterday. I did a 6 of 6 shift, and it's like having a newborn again. It's Every 3 hours, I have to feed, wean them, change his nappy, and then he goes for a sleep.
But it's all for such a great cause, because as you said, orangutans facing extinction. I mean, this baby can help that.
That's it. This baby is profile is not only European, it's international, and as I can't stress how important this country is globally. And also for Dublin Zoo as a whole, as I said, our big message now is about conservation. And with this young male here, particularly with the importance of Sibylla's genetics, the species has a chance of surviving. And that's what we're all about now at the moment.
Well, Lizzie, congratulations to you and your band of women for helping. And Anthony, well done at having the vision and the foresight to put that plan in place. That's it from us. Thanks to the team who put the show together and Gar Unsound. And thank you, as always, to you for keeping us company. Cormac is up next with Drive Time, and I'll be back tomorrow from 3. Have a great evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.